Let's give all the children a clap as they go through to Hope Point Kids. Filling up with children. That's a good sign, isn't it? Hallelujah. This is your first time here at Hope Point. Just want to extend a really big welcome. We're just, like Ben said, we're people that have chosen to follow Jesus. He's transformed our lives. And because of that, we want to see others transform. We want to have an impact in our town. We want to see people reach for Jesus. Just like you to turn to Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. It's our passage today, very short passage. I've been reading this, just thinking on it the last few weeks. It's really spoken to me. I really love this. I just want you to picture yourself there. It's a little bit like going back to our beginnings. This is the beginning for these disciples. This is the beginning of Jesus's ministry. It says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. What a powerful account, isn't it? What an amazing event. Changed the course of not just these men's lives, but the course of history. Jesus is calling two sets of brothers, Simon, who he called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and two other guys, Zebedee's sons, James and John. You know, I feel like there's so much in here. It's almost like it's the Genesis. It's almost like sometimes if we go back to our roots, if we go back to the beginning of things, there's such rich truths in there that we can find out what the essence of something is, our walk with God, this thing that we call Christianity, this thing that we call following Jesus. If we'll look at this little passage, I think we'll see a glimpse of what the real core, the real essence is, the DNA. It's all locked up in this first encounter. I don't know about you, but when I read that, do you see yourself there? Do you see yourself in that encounter, how you began your walk with Jesus? It all began with you hearing his voice and hearing him say, come, follow me. You know, our relationship with God is rooted in this divine call to come and follow him. And over the next few weeks as a church, I just want us to look at this. First thing I like in here, it says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw. What did he see? He saw two brothers. Jesus was on a mission. He had an agenda. He had a kingdom that he was bringing. He'd come to earth. You know, God had arrived in the neighborhood. God had turned up. These were people in darkness, it says, in the Sea of Galilee, and it said a great light had come to them. Jesus, it wasn't just a man that walked there, it was the Son of God. God had turned up on the scene, and he was looking for someone. You know, there's a verse that says, the eyes of the Lord run through the whole earth, looking for those whose hearts are towards him. There's an account in John of this as well. Don't have to turn there, but I'll read you a little bit in John 1, verse 35. It's a little bit more intimate of the same event. And it says, the next day John was there again with two of his disciples. This is John. It says, when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. You know, the thing that I see is there's two guys that are hanging out with John. They're doing the current thing with God. There's this forerunner for Jesus coming with a message to prepare the way of the Lord. They're hanging out with him because they're hungry for God. They're wanting to be where God is doing something. And they hear this guy, they're following John, suddenly say, look, there's the Lamb of God. And when they heard him, they followed him. It's interesting to me that these two guys were already seeking the kingdom. They were already on the lookout. They were wanting to be involved. They were wanting to hang out where God was doing stuff. They were anticipating the Messiah. Their hearts were open to the next thing that God was going to do. And Jesus comes by and he sees them. And I just want to encourage us today that God sees our hearts. God sees what's going on inside. God sees, knows every thought in our heart. He knows every hair on our head. And he sees what's going on. And he's drawn to us and he's wanting to call us. Once these guys got the nod from John the Baptist, they wasted no time. They left everything that had to do with John and they followed Jesus once he called them. I thought about how Jesus draws us. I'm sure if you all think back to when you met Jesus, it just didn't happen the day you gave your life to him. I don't know about you, but I can remember, I started to think back on this. I can remember riding a push bike as a uni student, and you know, my life was a long way from God, and involved in, you know, just involved in life and just distant from God, and just lost, just smoking pot, doing a degree, thinking what is life about. But something, I can remember being on that bike and stopping and just having all these thoughts going through my head about God. And I think Jesus is drawing people. Jesus is always drawing people. There are people outside of these walls that right now, they might be a long way from him, but he's drawing them. God, you know, it's not just us doing this thing about sharing the gospel. There is a supernatural power out there that is drawing people to him. You know, Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to me. He is drawing people. It's happening. It's happening. You know, we need to engage with God and be in the right place at the right time because God is drawing people. It's supernatural. It's unexplainable. And it's attractive. And his name is Jesus. And he's calling. He's calling people to himself. And he's saying, come, follow me. The first word there is come. And that is the gospel, you know. That is the gospel in one word, I feel. Come. Jesus himself, God himself, is making an invitation to humanity. He's saying, come. You know, Jewish rabbis chose... Jewish students chose their rabbis. They would, you know, they want to know more about God. They go and find a rabbi that they can follow. But Jesus was different. He took the step and he chose his disciples. He went out. He went by this lake, this sea. He saw a couple of brothers. I'm sure he'd been in prayer. He'd heard from his father and he said, it's them. And he started to call them. Jesus said, you did not choose me, I chose you. I don't know about you, but the fact that Jesus, I was lost, and he chose me. Do you know he chose you this morning? I was coming home on a crowded plane the other day, and I was looking at all the people, and I was thinking, I don't know how many people on this plane know Jesus, but I know Jesus. I felt so blessed I thought, you know, what is it that he chooses us? Billy Graham went to be with the Lord this year. And I remember watching a thing. He said, they asked him, what would be the one thing if you got to heaven, what would you want to ask? He said, the first thing I'd want to ask is, why did you choose me? You ever think about that? You know, he actually chose us. He's willing that none should perish, but he actually chose us. The fact that he chose us should fill us with a sense of acceptance and belonging and feeling whole, but it should motivate us even more to live for him. You know, we love him because he first loved us. That is the gospel. Jesus didn't choose you, and he didn't choose me because of anything we brought to this relationship. We all had nothing to offer. We had nothing to offer. It was all about what he offered us. You know, I think of the story about the parable about the 11th hour workers, you know. Talks about a guy going out to pick out workers to work in his field. He goes out at, I don't know, what was it, 6 a.m., 9 a.m., 12 a.m., 3 p.m., and the last time he goes out at 5 o'clock. You know, those guys that were left there at 5 o'clock looking for a job probably didn't have much to offer. But it talks about he went and chose them. He went and offered them a job to work with him, and he gave them the same reward as the rest. This is a message of grace, you know. Jesus offers everything to us, and we don't bring anything to the table. I'll tell you something I mightn't have said before. Did you know that I'm adopted? Did I ever tell you I was adopted? I'm adopted. In Roman society, if you're adopted, you're a person who was taken out of their previous condition, out of your past life, your old family. All your debts were cancelled. Every debt you had was cancelled. You had started a new life of sonship in a new family. You took on a new name and you got a new inheritance. Your new dad assumed responsibility for your support and liability for your actions at times. Your new father owned any property you may or may not have had. He had a good say over your relationships and he had a right to discipline you. But there's one key thing. The father, when you're adopted, he chose you. You know, I'm adopted. I had a natural dad who loved me very much, but one day God adopted me and made me a son in his family. And that's the gospel. God came towards us, stepped into humanity, came on the face of this earth, walked amongst these brothers and said, come, follow me. And they were adopted as they followed him. I thought about when it says follow, you know, come follow. You know, this call to follow always comes with challenge, doesn't it? I don't know about you, but when I heard that drawing power of Jesus starting to draw me, it was inviting. It was attractive. It was magnetic. It was something I knew would. I knew in the depths of my heart, this is what I need. This is what I'm called for. But on the other side, it was also very challenging. There's something when Jesus comes to us, and he talks to us, and he calls us. He's challenging. It's not condemning. It's never condemning. It's never to drive me. But somehow it cuts through all the fog and he invites me to make a decision. and he speaks with authority. Because of this, these two guys, Peter and Andrew, it says, at once they left their nets and followed him. With James and John, it says, immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. The challenge is always to leave our nets. You know, there was something holding me back when I felt this drawing. And it was the fact that I had an old life that I was attached to. Just like these guys, they had nets. They had everything that their old life was locked up in. It's not your job, it's not nets, but it's your old life. And Jesus wants, when he calls us, there's a challenge to forsake something. There's a challenge to let it go. There's a challenge to say, I'm leaving that behind. I'm turning around and I'm following you. I'm going to surrender all. I'm going to give up any position I think I might have. You know, by the time you get to Jesus and you're on the other side, you realize that what you were trying to hold on to was worth nothing. That is the deception. You know, you think, how can I follow Jesus? I've got to leave this old life I'm in. And you think, you know, there's something good about this old life. You get over to the other side and you realize there's nothing. I had nothing and he gave me everything. We have to, for all of us, when he calls us, we're laying down our nets. Have you left your nets? Have you left your nets? Many of us said, think about the rich young ruler. He was attracted to Jesus. He could feel that drawing. He wanted to follow him. He began to inquire about, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He was drawn to Jesus. But Jesus, his call to come follow him, he had a challenge in there. He said, go and sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. I tell you, that guy knew in his heart his possessions possessed him. He knew that his old life was wrapped up in his money and everything else. And you know what? He never followed Jesus. And Jesus, it said, looked at him with sadness. Jesus had a call on that guy's life. You know, we all have to leave something behind. The strange thing I find is that the stronger the challenge, you ever see this? I mean, I was thinking when Billy Graham went to be with the Lord and you listen to him preach with such clarity and with such conviction and with real challenge. You listen to people who really preach with challenge. I was thinking about Reinhard Bonnke, these guys that step up to the plate and say, they actually put that punch in the follow. They actually cut through the fog and get to the heart of humanity and put that call. You know, the stronger the challenge, the greater the response. Isn't it strange? You know, we think that somehow it clears the fog, it separates. The gospel comes straight through. But it gets such magnificent response. Jesus got these enormous responses of 12 men and everybody began to follow him. They flocked to him. Think about the parable of the hidden treasure. The guy that is in a field and he finds this treasure that's hidden. It's so good, he sells everything to go and buy that field. You know, that's what Jesus does to us. That challenge hits us and we want to follow him. Suddenly we're no longer directing our own lives. He's setting the direction. How peaceful it is. How good it is. Because the direction I was on, I thought the day he called me to come follow him, it was like a big fork in a bad road, you know. And I followed him and his direction has only ever been good. Jesus calls us to align ourselves with the life that he lived and taught, to follow him. He doesn't leave us with, you know, he's not coming with, here's some helpful hints. He's not coming with, these are some suggestions for you. He's come to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. And he knows unless we're on his path, unless we follow him, we are lost. He needs us close. And he challenges us. The last series we had was about love, loving your neighbor, loving your brethren, loving your enemies. I tell you, that's challenging. That's challenging when you get out of this place and you're at work on Monday and someone's got it in for you, not nice to you at work, and out of your heart you're going to say, I am a follower of Jesus. I will love them. I will love them. What about people that wrong you? What about something going wrong? You know, our old way would just be to not forgive. But Jesus, we hear that voice inside, come follow me. Come follow me. Forgive them. Forgive them. We're called not to be judgmental. We're suddenly called to let our light shine. You know, us fearful people at times. Suddenly we're in a workplace. Suddenly we're we're talking with someone. And suddenly you hear that whisper in that voice, tell them about me. Are we following Jesus? Are we rising to the challenge? Are we letting our light shine? Are we putting him first? You know, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. You know, all these promises we have, all these invitations to walk into something richer, something better for our lives, to walk into this adventure. You know, Jesus called them to something greater than they'd ever experienced. They had no idea when they turned and left John and followed him what he had for them, the great things. He calls us to serve, to lay down our lives. He calls us to seek him, and he calls us to be on mission. They're not suggestions. We are followers of Jesus, and he puts challenge every time I read this, but we need to read the Bible, because as we do, the voice of the shepherd will challenge us. And we need, I tell you, I need challenging. I feel encouraged if I sit and hear a preacher preach and hear the word of God. It's the word of God. You know, the word of God has such an enormous effect on us. And I feel that challenge. You know, there's something in us all, I think we long for challenge. We want to rise to it. It's not to drive us. It's not to condemn us. You know, growth is gradual. Trees don't grow, you know, in a day. Trees grow, you know. But, you know, as I follow, I grow. I remember I was thinking about this. I was thinking of a song. I don't know if who's heard this old song. Lady, I think her name was Bette Midler. Remember that? She used to have this song, God is Watching Us. A lovely song. You know, you get these songs that have this emotional grab, you know. I'm not saying it's a Christian song at all. But, you know, it does that little tug on your heart thing. But in the words, it goes, God is watching us from a distance. Well, let me tell you that God's done everything he ever could to remove distance. He is not distant. You know, he's the God that came down. He's the God that's come close. He's the God that walked on this lake. I'd like to go to that lake one day. I'd like to see where he walked, you know. Don't know if I'll get Deb there, but might get there. God's done everything he can to remove the distance. The distance is something we put, isn't it? The distance is something we put. And, you know, if you're following someone, distance matters. Distance matters. I mean, you think about all those spy films where they're trying to follow someone. You know, in the spy films, you get in a car and you're going to follow that guy. If you're not a little bit close, you want to keep a little bit away, but if you keep too far away, you will lose sight of them. And you will lose them. We need to hang out with Jesus. We need to hang out with him. We need to be close enough to hear his voice. I don't know about you, but it just don't happen because I put up my hand one day and I sit and it doesn't even occur if I just come to church once a week. It takes a little bit more effort. It takes a little bit of discipline, I find. It takes reading my Bible. Takes actually praying? I mean, we can talk a lot about prayer, and I'm talking to myself, but do we pray? Do we actually make an effort to maybe find a place, you know, go into our closet, get somewhere and get alone with him, get a little close and talk to him? It matters if we want to follow him. We can't have distance. It's not about doing more stuff. It's about focus. It's about where we decide to be. It's about priorities. There's an old hymn that says, "I need thee every hour. Stay now thee by." Stay a little close. Get a little close. Get that distance shortened. In the hymn it says, "I need thee every hour. Stay now thee by. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh." Well, he's not created the distance, but I guarantee the closer we get to him, we just nuzzle up, we just make time for him, the power of what's working against us is lessened. When Peter, he followed Jesus at the beginning here, you know, the night that Jesus was betrayed, the night that Peter failed, and, you know, God used him magnificently. I'm not wanting to talk about the fact that he failed. But you know what it says there in Matthew 26? It says, "But Peter followed him at a distance." You know, the night that it all went pear-shaped, he was at a distance. It pays to stick in close. You know, sheep, if they want to hear the voice of the shepherd, need to be close enough to hear his voice. I want to hear his voice. I want to hear his voice more. And I want to follow him. I just encourage you today, reduce the distance. The third word in here is come follow me. This is relationship. This is not a set of rules. This is not following just good advice. Jesus, He doesn't actually tell them exactly where he's going. He's not calling them to a place. He's calling them to follow him. He says, come, follow me. It's relationship. You know, when Buddha was dying, his disciples asked how best they could remember him. He told them not to worry about remembering him, but to remember his teaching. Christianity is totally different. You know, we want to know the teaching. But first of all, it's a relationship with Jesus. That's what transforms us. That's when we put this vision up here, transforming our community through the love and power of Jesus. It's about connecting them with Jesus. You know, all we got to do, we're followers. We go tell our story. We go tell his story. We extend the invitation that we had, come follow me. And as they connect with him, everything happens. It's supernatural. It's his work. It's not our work. We're not building a club. We're not building an institution. We're creating space where people can hear that voice of the shepherd that says, come follow me. And in that relationship with him and with his body, they are transformed. The part of this that really excites me says, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you. Isn't that good? Do you get excited about that? Do you get excited about that? I mean, that's destiny. You know, did those guys know what he was saying to them? Think about these guys. These guys... It talks about these first 12, they are the foundation stones on which the whole church is built. When the New Jerusalem comes down, they are in there with the 12 sons of Jacob or whatever. You know, these guys are really in a good place. These guys did, you know, Peter got up on the day of Pentecost and preached his first message, and 3,000 people got saved. Spirit of God got poured out. He started raising the dead and seeing cripples healed. you know, lost his life in the end, I'm sure. But what an adventure. What a life. You know, Jesus, when he saw him, he said, "You are Simon," which means reed. Something just, you'd never put weight on it. You'd never do much with it. Loud mouth, impetuous fisherman. Not much probably going for him. I mean, I don't know where his path was going to go, but Jesus came into his life, said, "Come follow me and I will make you." Look where he finished up. I just look at the Bible and I just see all these people that God called and God did something with their lives and he made them something that they never thought they would be. Peter, Jesus told him from the start, "You shall be Peter. You're going to be a rock." He had destiny for him. He had promises for him. He had a venture for him. It says, "The grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny something, to walk away from our nets, and he will transform us." God will enable us. Jesus will do the work in us. That just excites me. All I got to worry about is following him. I don't have to make myself anything. We don't have to be self-made people. We are God-made people. I look around here and the miracles of people and the changed lives. I bet none of you thought the day you put your hand up for Jesus, you would be where you are today. He's done such great things. You know, every man that God calls, he graces them, he anoints them, and he makes them. He is the potter, we are the clay. He makes us. Jesus sees something in all of us that we don't even see in ourselves. That's the excitement. He says, "Come follow me and I will make you." You think you're insignificant. You think you couldn't amount to much. You think, what could God do with my life? And he makes you. I listened to a guy the other day I shared who was an English SAS guy whose life was completely broken. And he was 40 years old and he heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come follow me." He'd had divorces, he'd had broken home, he'd had drug addiction, he'd had violence, he'd been in jail. And the cry in his heart was, "God, could you ever do anything with my life?" And when he heard Jesus call him, it gave him hope and he followed him. And this guy is only 10 or 12 years later sharing what God has done in his life, and he's helping people in Britain that don't have a home. And what God has done for him, he's sharing with others and he's transforming lives. He's working with Jesus. And I'm just so excited that Jesus sees something in us that we don't even see in ourselves. You don't know what's locked up in you. And Jesus is going to call it out. He is going to call it out and he's going to make you fishers of men, or whatever his call on your life is. We've all got call, we've all got potential, and he is all about releasing that, whatever's locked up in your life, but it happens as we follow him. Jesus doesn't see us the way we are today. He sees what we can become as he works in our lives and he changes us. I think that's the miracle. The miracle has to be changed lives. What we have to be looking for, unless there's change, where is Jesus? Unless there's change, unless there's growth, unless there's forward momentum, we have to be growing if we're following. What could God do with my life if I simply responded to his call to follow him? The next thing it says, he says, "I will make you fishers of men." You know, we cannot know Jesus without also making him known. That's non-negotiable. It's not left just for the Billy Grahams and the Reinhard Bonnkes. I mean, I'm challenged about this too. We need to overcome our apprehensions, our fears. We are all called to make Jesus known. That's part of him making us. When Jesus calls us, he calls us with purpose. He wants to change us, transform us. He wants to make us. But, you know, in all what he's doing in us, it's not about us. It's about his mission and his purpose. He has a lost world on his heart that's dying. And he has a nation like our nation that's forgotten God, and it matters to him. And the people we see in the street every day, they matter to him. It's on his heart continually. When he comes to call us, he calls us with purpose. He's got an agenda, and it's a lost world. And somehow, in all that he does for us, all the blessings we receive, we still have to realize he's making us fishers of men. He's wanting us to reach the lost. There will be a place for us all to fit into how that happens. Everybody is gifted. Everybody has a place that he will use us. You know, what purpose could be more motivating? What, you know, in the light of eternity, what could be greater than you had the chance to see lives changed and to see people come to know Jesus? Doesn't mean we go leave our jobs. In fact, it's better we don't. It's better we're all engaged. It's better we are salt and light in this earth, and we're out fulfilling our mission. We're on mission. We might be at work, but we're on mission. It's locked up in our hearts. It's kind of always in the background that our heart is towards the lost. The best part of my week last week, I sat with a dad who popped into something we had here, and I sat with him, and we just started to talk, and the conversation went down the line about God and about the gospel and about Jesus. And I tell you, I don't know, it's strange, isn't it? I got home to Deb for dinner that night. There was some joy in my heart. There was something that kicked over that just, I don't know, I thought, what's different? Why am I feeling like this? It was because I sat with that guy and I shared the gospel. And I told him, it's not complicated. I just told him my story and I told him Jesus' story and just a few verses. But God was there. Jesus was there and I was blessed. You know, Joseph, I heard this is not my message, this part. I heard, you should listen to it. I listened to Jensen Franklin. I so love his preaching, you know. I listened to a message he had a few months ago. I don't know, I was coming home in the car. Had this message about Joseph. Just listen to this verse. He preached on this verse. Joseph is a fruitful vine near a spring whose branches climb over the wall. He shared about, you know, you could listen to it, but it was really all about, in here there's a well. We've got a well in here, haven't we? We've got a well. But, you know, there's some walls here. But Joseph was doubly blessed. Joseph's life was fruitful because his branches climbed over the wall. And he challenged his church about, you know, we need to climb over the wall. We need to have our branches go. We might be tucked into the well here, but we need to be reaching out over these walls to others. I tell you, I was challenged. I was encouraged and I was blessed. And I thought, I was thinking to myself, am I still praying for open doors of opportunity to share the gospel? Is it passion in my heart still for the lost? Are we praying for people that we interact with day by day, week by week, our workmates, our friends, our family, whoever it is? Are we concerned for their soul? Like David in Psalms, it says, no man cared for my soul. Do we care for people's souls? Do we care for their destiny? Do we care for their eternity? Is it something that's on our hearts enough that we pray and that we take little bold steps of courage to share the gospel? Because it is the thing that will transform them but also change their destiny, and we will rejoice on the other side of eternity for everything we've done. I'll just finish up with this. verse from 1 Corinthians. It says, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. You think about what you were when you were called? Not many of you, this is encouraging, I'm sure. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things, and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Come follow me. It's an invitation. It's a challenge. It's an invitation to a relationship with Jesus. He will transform us. He will make us. He will use us. He will do something with our lives. And he will take us on a mission and a purpose that will excite us for the rest of our lives. We just need to narrow the distance today and come follow him a little closer. Jesus is calling. We just need to make a decision. I just invite you, if you'd like to stand with me, if you want to just rededicate your response to him. I want to rededicate my response to him. I want my life to be made by him. If there's anyone who would like to stand as we pray, just be free. If Jesus has spoken to you today, if you've been encouraged in any way, if you want to say, Jesus, I want to come a little closer today. I want to keep following you. I just invite you just to stand. Jesus, we just bless you today. We thank you for what you did the day that you visited us. Lord, we thank you for the day you came walking along our lake. We thank you, Lord, that you called us. Jesus, we thank you, you called us. We've never been the same. Jesus, we love you. We thank you that you invited us. And today, Lord, we just want to declare, we will follow. Though none go with us, though the road would be difficult at times, we would stay close to you and we would follow you all the days of our life. Jesus, we just bless you today. Thank you for the miracles that you've done in our lives. Thank you for your kindness to us. Lord, we just say today, use us. Use our lives. Make us. Take this church, Lord. Take us all. Take us all on a journey today into something bigger, into the destiny you have for us, into the promises that you've made to us. Lord, we say yes today. We say yes to you. We just love you, Jesus. Thank you for your invitation. Thank you for your grace to us. Thank you for your kindness. Lord, we just bless you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. We're going to follow this series next week. Next week, Hank's sharing. I'm excited about that. I honor you, Hank. You've followed Jesus for how many years now? 50-something years. I'm sure Hank's got a few good things to say about following Jesus. Anyone who's walked with Jesus that long and still here and still stands and says, I want to follow him all the days of my life. I want to hear what he's got to say. And just bless you. Next week,